Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Lori Hansen. Lori is the owner of Cannibal Island Creamery. Where's your operation located there, Lori?
Our location is 3019 Cannibal Island Road, Lolita, California.
And how long have you raised goats and how did you get started in the whole goat business?
I've had goats for approximately 17 years, and I originally wanted to be able to be at home with my children when they came home from school and be able to make dinner and breakfast, and so I started milking goats and selling fluid milk, and that way I was able to be a stay-at-home mom and participate in my kids' lives.
Did you make cheese from the very beginning? Like if you had a little extra milk, were you kind of interested in that and kind of playing with it?
Or? No, actually, I just used to sell fluid milk. And so it just progressed to making cheese. I could either intensify or diversify. And I chose diversification.
And what kind of cheeses do you make?
I am making raw feta cheese and an aged cheese and then fresh chèvre.
So the whole controversy about raw milk cheeses, tell us how that kind of works in your business.
The law states that you have to age a cheese for 60 days if it is a raw milk cheese. And so a lot of people really would prefer to have raw, fresh cheese. But for me, it's against the law to, you know, provide fresh cheese unless it's been pasteurized. So in order to meet other people's needs, making the raw feta, it works good because it doesn't use as much propane in order to have to pasteurize the milk. And then it ages for 60 days. They get their raw milk cheese. I have an ability to produce cheese without as much cost.
And when you make cheese, I mean, that's really kind of a concentration. It's a preservation of the milk. It's a way of preserving the milk. But it's also a concentration because it takes a whole lot of milk to make a pound of cheese. What do you think the ratio is with that?
Well, I'm really new. So I just got my license on July 2nd. So in my experience so far, I have a 100-gallon vat pasteurizer and I weighed all the curd for soft cheese, and out of 100 gallons of milk, I yielded 135 pounds of soft curd. So when I make the feta, it drains for longer, and it's kind of pressed, so it doesn't yield as much. But for 100 gallons of raw milk feta, it's the equivalent to 3 5-gallon buckets of cheese in a brine.
Okay. That's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, it is a lot of cheese. And when I first started with no experience, it was like sink or swim. So it was amazing to see how much cheese that you yield. I mean, I made cheese in the kitchen, but I'd never made 100 gallons of cheese. And I mean, to a huge cheesemaker, that still is nothing. But to somebody that is just starting out, it's a lot.
Yeah. Now, you also raise goats.
Yes.
And how many goats do you have?
I have a small herd now in comparison to before. So now I only have 65 goats, which is sufficient for the amount of milk that I need. And the 65 goats, I'm able to make cheese every 2.5 days.
What's your day like? I mean, you've got the goats to take care of, and you're also making cheese. So what's kind of like you get up in the morning, and how soon do you milk the goats?
The milking the goats and making the cheese is one thing. Milking the goats, making the cheese in the farmers markets are the combination that is the lethal one. I get up at 5 o'clock. I milk the goats, get my barn chores done, go to the farmers markets, come home, milk the goats, then I make the cheese. I usually pasteurize the cheese at 7 o'clock at night, and then it usually pasteurization lasts till about 11 o'clock. So then the next morning I get up at 5 o'clock, milk the goats, the repeat of, you know, whichever direction I need to go. And then when I come home, then I hang the cheese after milking. And then the following day, I come home after milking in the evening and flavor and weigh all the cheese out. So most of the time, I'm up at 5 and going to bed at 11.
Wow. What do you do with all the whey from the cheese?
Actually, the whey has turned out to be an extra way of producing water, you know, being water conscious with our being on a well and having to conserve water. The goats drink the whey, and so we have a whey system where it goes through the drain, and then the drain goes into a watering trough. And when I hang the curd, then the drain is changed, and it goes to a clean watering trough where the goats can drink the whey. And then it change it back to going back out to the wash-up water goes on the field.
It seems like in a way, too, it helps to keep you from having to treat all that water, because all that water that's in that whey, and then you're actually getting a benefit from it. Because it seems like it might be also a nutritious
thing. Yeah, it is. The goats love it. You know, at first I thought, well, will they drink it? But boy, they line up and they just love it. In the morning after I've made cheese, the trough is halfway gone. So there is absolutely no waste. I have the goats that drink the whey and any of the curds that are left over or floor sweepings. I have pigs that eat the leftover cheese or any, you know, cheese that has gotten older or anything that's weird. And then there's the dogs and the cats. And
there's, it's like a whole pecking order.
Yeah, there's a whole crew. My border collie looks like a small walrus now. She is so fat. It's not even funny.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
So where do you get the cultures to make the cheeses?
I actually order the cultures from Wisconsin, and they're dry frozen cultures that come from France.
And when you make the cheese, is there a way of kind of keeping those cultures alive like you might with yogurt? If you're making yogurt, you kind of keep
They're frozen, so I just keep them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. I don't have like a mother culture, like small home kitchens, like make a buttermilk culture and they use that and they keep that alive, or maybe great big huge cheese plants. I just don't have that experience. And I think that in order to keep the consistency the same, that this was the safest, easiest way that I could measure out how many grams I need for how many gallons and be able to make a consistent product.
Right. Now, I've seen you down at the farmers markets, and I know you're letting people taste your cheeses. What kind of a response are you getting to your cheeses?
I'd have to say that I feel really blessed that everyone has just been really warm and super excited, and they love it. And I have lots of people that are repeat customers, and I have had several different restaurants now using my cheese, and I feel really lucky that I never in my wildest dreams thought it was going to take off like this. And, you know, people are waiting to see me and, wow, we missed you at the market, and where can we get your cheese? And they're calling me at home, and I'm delivering cheese to the meat market in Lolita, and they can pick it up there. Or there's cheese also available at the farm stand in freshwater. So it's amazing.
Now, how about hooking up with some of the restaurants? I mean, how do you hook up with a person who runs a restaurant and say, hey, here's this cheese. I think it might work with your menu.
I actually took samples around to lots of different restaurants, and the Wine Spot was the first person that came to me and said, we really want your cheese. And then I donated cheese for Arts Alive, and that was a huge success because the owner of T's restaurant had gone there and tried the cheese. And then she came to me at the farmer's market and introduced herself and said that she would like to use my cheese, and that Luke's joint, Mr. Peterson, came over and introduced himself and said that he wanted to try the cheese. And he was, you know, really happy to help support a small local business. And it was really nice. I mean, some lady told me that a good product sells itself. So,
right. Yeah, but I think it helps also to see the face that goes with it, which in a small community, you can do that. You can actually meet the person who's making the cheese.
Yeah, I milk the goats and make the cheese myself. And so there's quality assurance that I can honestly tell somebody I know that the milk is clean, you know, that I pride myself or to have pride in my ability to be able to make, you know, good, clean milk, which that is the basis of any good cheese. And I've done that for a long time. So that part of it, I have down. So just making the cheese was the new part, you know.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, this has been a very interesting learning about your business, a new business selling goat cheese on the North Coast. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Lori Hansen from Cannibal Island Creamery. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.